Greetings, it's Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. While the show's on hiatus this week, we've prepared a treat for you, a sample of the new podcast, Pop Culture Moms. It's from our friends at Good Morning America, and each week, Andy, Sabrina, and a celebrity guest talk about the joys and challenges of parenting and what they've learned from the beloved moms we've all watched on TV and movies. Today, we bring you their episode featuring ABC's own chief meteorologist, Ginger Z. If you like it, click the link in our episode description for more Pop Culture Moms, or search for the show and follow along wherever you're listening.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, honey.
Oh, hello.
This week, let me just tell you something. We're talking with a scientist.
I don't even understand how this happened.
We're talking with a woman far, far too smart to speak with us, but too late, she did it. And I'm sure she regrets everything that led her here. Let's just say that. That woman is ABC chief meteorologist Ginger Z.
This storm chase started with a tornado moving right toward downtown Wichita.
Gotta get ready to go.
We raced north to meet it.
We're just now coming on Wichita. We're about 5 miles south, and the storm structure is incredible. It's going to pass right over the city of Wichita. This has already
Now, I'm not going to start talking about weather science if we don't back up first to discuss the single most pivotal weather documentary of our time, which is Twister.
Jesus, Bill, I've never seen clutter like this.
I don't think anybody has.
Bill, we're in the core.
No. It's not a documentary.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, because Twister was a documentary. Twister is the epic 1996 action-adventure film that really just plunged all of us into this thrilling, terrifying world of storm chasing, specifically tornado chasing. The story follows Dr. Joe Harding, played flawlessly by Helen Hunt, and her estranged husband, played by the dearly departed Bill Paxton. Both Joe Harding and her husband, Bill, are seasoned meteorologists who reunite to deploy an advanced weather research device called Dorothy in the path of these powerful tornadoes that are tearing through Oklahoma. So Joe Harding, she's not portrayed as a mother here. Her character's backstory and motivations are really driven by the loss of her father to a tornado when she was a child. That fuels her passion for studying tornadoes and improving early warning systems.
It's over.
What is wrong with you? We can still do this!
Jesus Christ, listen to yourself! You're obsessed!
You've never seen what that thing can do, so don't talk to me about it! You've never seen it! You've never seen it miss this house and miss that house and come after you!
Now, I remember nearly every detail of this movie, and I'll tell you why. Because you and I have seen this movie hundreds, maybe thousands of times.
That's correct. Because one of our best friends, my stepsister, Nicole, she was and is obsessed with Twister. She had the VHS, and that really did it.
If Twister was on TV, and it often played on like TBS, TNT, she would just stop down and watch it through, no matter how many times she had seen it that day, even.
Start to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. It's worth mentioning, though, that her dad, who's my stepdad, Paul, is like a tremendously smart meteorologist in his own right. Let's say not technically a meteorologist, but he's like a junior professional meteorologist. Mm-hmm. And he has a full weather station. So he's interested in weather. Maybe it runs in the family.
I mean, I'm sure it does. But, you know, this summer, we're going to get a sequel, Twisters. It's plural this time. You know, they mean business. And it's got a whole new generation of storm chasers. And the very first thing I did when I saw that ad play on the Super Bowl was call Nicole. I said, Nicole, the time has come.
Yeah. So Ginger obviously became a real life Helen Hunt. And that's cool and interesting because we never became the real life version of anything we've ever seen.
Not even once.
Not even once. And Ginger has also written two memoirs, the first being Natural Disaster, I Cover Them, I Am One.
Such a good title.
Isn't that good? And A Little Closer to Home. Both are really personal, really candid. And I thought what was so interesting reading them was that studying weather and covering weather all these years has really helped her to understand herself, especially her struggles with her mental health. She's very open about her long battle with depression, her experiences with therapy and hospitalization. It's like very clear that weather, the impermanence of it, the intensity, the resilience required to survive a storm, it's all of it is such a metaphor for how we can view our own inner worlds, our mental well-being. But it's not all heavier topics. We also get into her current TV obsession, The Gilded Age. Now, Seb, why don't you share with the listener your qualms about the show when Ginger told us that she loved it?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it once, I'll say it a million times. I, myself, would not like to really watch a television show where I don't think any character will ever wear leather pants.
Yeah, that's a real tough boundary to make.
But it's just like, I feel that those old timey, like Downton Abbey shows aren't very edgy. But Ginger corrected me on that.
I'm Andy Mitchell.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg from ABC Audio and Good Morning America. This is Pop Culture Moms. We'll talk with Ginger about how she learned to prioritize her mental well-being, what she's watching with her kids, and thankfully, she's helping us figure out how to talk to our kids about climate change.
We'll dive in with Ginger after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit. Ginger, welcome to Pop Culture Moms.
I am so happy to be here.
We are thrilled to have you here. I'm your biggest fan. Sabrina's your second biggest fan.
Yeah,
so you are the chief meteorologist at ABC News, mm-hmm. the first woman to hold that at a major network. Mm-hmm. What first drew you to weather meteorology?
I have loved the atmosphere since I was 8. I spent a summer on Lake Michigan and was really fortunate to have the ability to look out over this huge lake. And if you haven't been, it looks like the ocean.
It does.
You don't see the end of it. It's not like a lake. It's a bad word for it. And I remember having a very stormy summer, my brother and I spending that summer there, and me regularly seeing thunderstorms come across. Sometimes they would hit us. Sometimes they'd go to our north. And I started to put together, this is a puzzle. So I remember clearly running in third grade to the encyclopedia, grabbing the weather section, the tornado section, and like hoarding over it, you know, because like, kids get passionate about, my kids right now are into Pokemon, so maybe they become, anyway, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, that's right.
We watch kids go through these. Yeah. Well, that thing, my thing, never left. And I always found, and still do, when I walk outside, I look up and I look at it like a puzzle that I want to put together. And most days I can. So that's where it started.
Exciting. And also, let's not forget Helen Hunt from Twister.
Well, and that's why I say where it started.
Okay.
You tell
me. If she didn't ignite some passions.
I'd be walking around still just looking at the sky if it weren't for Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be one of those people who told the weather on TV. That's weird. I really didn't. I was super shy. I had no intention. And I didn't know what I would want to do with meteorology because it's not like we see the image of ourselves in a meteorologist that works at the National Weather Service. That was not clear to me at the time. And so when I was looking for, starting to think about what I'd want to do, I saw the movie Twister, and I saw Helen Hunt's character standing on the top directing people in a storm chase. I was like, that's what I want to do. They say representation matters. Mm-hmm. Like, also, thanks, Hollywood, because there were no women doing that,
Right,
but thank you. So I knew that that happened. Within a year, we had something called a derecho in West Michigan, where these extremely strong winds took out the very movie theater that I had seen Twister in. So the movie definitely told me I want to be a storm chaser. And when I went to choose a college for meteorology, I knew I wanted to choose one where we could storm chase.
What are your favorite, like, natural disaster movies?
It's hard because it's much like someone in the medical profession when
they're
going to watch.
Like, realistic.
No.
Is that right?
I mean, Twister is so scientifically gash. Like, it is so bad.
Well, are you serious?
Laughably bad.
I thought that was just...
Sabrina, we were like, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Well.
And you know me, because I do this to all of our producers. Like, it doesn't have to be wrong to make it big. It doesn't have to be wrong. It's like, tornadoes are exciting. You don't have to make them inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So much like medicine, though. So I think that as we've seen from the show ER all the way up, I think things have gotten better. I think they've gotten smarter about, you know, I watched Doogie Howser with my kids and it was like, oh God, I don't even know medicine and I know this is bad.
I can tell you right now, these facts are
there are some things that I watch where I'm like, that's not correct.
Yeah. And I have a hard time once I get past that and tell myself to be entertained for once. And this isn't a documentary, Ginger. I still, Twister's number one.
Weather is such a perfect metaphor for like life and
sure
how
is.
We experience everything. And you really talk about that in your books. So how has your parenting been influenced by your understanding of weather?
So many ways. I can't even. And I try not to be annoyingly cliche, but it just comes out, you know, like with my kids. Because at a certain point, they're going to realize that I am full cheese fest. And like everything I'm saying, you know, for right now, because they're 6 and 8, it feels good. And I'm sitting in that sweet spot of like that young elementary where their teachers are probably doing this. They're probably making great analogies and I'm in a safe place. Wait until 4th-ish, and then I think I'm starting to get the cock of the head, like, hold on a second. What'd you say? You are so, you know, like, mom. They're already embarrassed at certain things. But I will say that I use it a lot as analogies. I talk a lot about, especially my older one, he's much like me, and my husband to some degree, but mostly like me. He's a born perfectionist. He's a people pleaser. He came out wanting to do that. And I know that that's not everyone, because I see my second child, and he is not. He's actually a born not people pleaser.
Yeah.
How do I wake up every day not pleasing people? And so to watch him go through life, I have to regularly tell him, like, we have fully sunny days. And if he's relating that to perfection, you know, like, of course, nobody's fully perfect. There's always a cloud somewhere. There's always something somewhere. And then we're going to have stormy and rough days. And like, but these things are temporary. And so I use it for that part of life, just the very basic emotional regulation of how do we respond to the ever-changing ups and downs of life. In like more meteorological terms, and I've done this with him, it's like troughs and ridges. Like, we have the downs to have the ups. You cannot have it flat or else the world wouldn't go around.
That is something that I think I just turned 39 and I've like, I'm just getting clear on that. Like, because I've struggled with my mental health, but I think your journey with weather and your openness about mental health struggles has been so inspiring.
Thank you.
Because you started sharing things like now it's common to see people talking about anxiety or depression mm-hmm. or even PTSD, like mm-hmm. on TikTok, on X, on Instagram. But I think like when you wrote your first memoir and really opened up about it, it did something to kind of shift the stigma that is still there, although lessening.
Yeah. I think so. I love hearing people share it. I think it's interesting to watch how it's evolved because even my sharing has evolved because I saw, oh, it's okay to share that part. Well, what if I share this part? And as you share, you heal. And so it's been a healing process for me to do this as well, both in writing and in just having conversations. I think that we've come a long time way in the anxiety, depression, therapy. People feel comfortable. I think the next level is how do we get the stigma away from when I tell you I went to the psych ward at Columbia? Right. Because that's usually when an eyebrow comes up or so, right? Like, I'm sorry, what? You know? And that is the very time that I finally got the help I needed, got the diagnosis I needed, and then got the right type of therapy that has me sitting in this chair healthy, happy, alive, and sharing with all of you. And so that's what I hope that we can get to, also that different diagnoses. Like my diagnosis, even though depression was a part of it, was really borderline personality disorder. And that sounds crazy, right? Like that's the word. And we're trying to
because
stay away from that word because we don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But it's an underdiagnosed and the beauty of it. And what I learned is there's beauty in almost all of them in that, especially in borderline, you can grow through it and out of it. And that's something we talk a lot as a parent. I don't know about you guys, but for him, it's all about that perfection, that good and bad. And I realize that we do that to ourselves through the rest of life, that I'm not good enough or I'm not like, first of all, nobody's all the way good and nobody's all the way bad. I think everybody lives somewhere in between. We talk about that all the time and we make choices every day. And those choices can lead us on one side or the other, but we're going to try to keep making choices to be on the better. And I tell my mom that now.
Yeah.
Because I have to remind her, right?
Oh, like, oh yeah.
Parenting your parent. And you're like, oh, so you didn't teach me how to emotionally regulate, but I am going to help you, lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
I gentle parent my parents all the time.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
always like
yeah.
trying to be yeah. like, you're feeling angry.
Yes.
Right. It's okay to feel angry.
Use your
yes.
words.
Yes.
And we give them so much more grace. I don't know if you all do, yeah. but I held some pretty rough things for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What like was your mom like when you were little?
Goodness. Well, I had to write books about it, so it's pretty long. No, she taught me how to be full of hope and how to treat people right. The golden rule was above our door, and we always talked about how you want to be treated is how you treat others. And she also is the person who you want something done. That's my mom. She was hope-filled. She was not going to take no for an answer, and she would make everything happen. Currently, my 70-year-old mother is on track to this April graduate from medical school.
Hold on, I'm sorry, wait, no.
If this doesn't tell you who this
what?
Lady is. And when people are like,
from
oh,
medical school?
Yes, she retired to go back to med school. So when
this
she-
is the most ambitious family, I'm out. Ginger,
she,
I can't relate to this.
At 27 years old, had two masters in nursing and got pregnant with me. And actually, when she went to college, they were telling women still, you shouldn't be a doctor, right? Like, so she was
so
coming
nice.
From that. And then she got pregnant with me. And so it kind of stopped up the plans. She had three more children, which mm-hmm. kind of slowed down the whole,
yeah,
I'm going to
yeah,
go to med school someday. And she had to work. She was a neonatal nurse practitioner. So she was, and she worked really long hours and all this stuff. So most people retire, and then they want to chill out. My mom retired and directly went to med school. Where?
Wow.
I mean, she had two roommates who were in their mid-20s. They both failed.
They did? Wait, she had
roommates.
She did the full experience?
Everything.
This woman's insane.
Yeah.
We should have her here today.
Yes.
Ginger's mom,
she
come
is,
on out. Like,
she
honestly,
is the pop culture mom.
That's amazing. Because
actually, if she goes through the residency, which I, God willing, she will be the oldest. She'll, like, be a GMA story.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she'll
I
be a Guinness
so
book.
So inspired.
This needs to be
impressed.
A storyline on Grey's
yeah,
Anatomy,
yeah, no
for
question,
sure.
No question.
It's incredible. So what, when you are parenting your kids, what are you going to take from your mom? And is there mm-hmm. anything you want to leave behind and just be like, that didn't really work for me?
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. I will take the, you can get anything you want as long as you treat people well along the way. I'm going to leave behind, oh my goodness, so many things. The volatility and the not knowing what's next. My mom had a lot of her own mental health issues that nobody knew how to fix. And she did eventually, medication helped and therapy has helped. And I think it was just, she didn't have the support. And so that's, if I get to those places, I'm going to never let myself be alone in that. And I think she did.
And I feel like when I read in your book, just the openness that you were able to have with mm-hmm. her, like telling her, I mean, she's the one, so it was 10 days before you started working at mm-hmm. Good Morning America or mm-hmm. at ABC in general, and you told her, like, I'm really not doing well. And she's like, we have to do something.
Gotta go to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. Checked into Columbia.
Yeah, into the psych ward. Because it was, she had told me that for 10 years. I mean, I had 2 suicide attempts, like serious. This not that they're not serious, but, you know, hospitalized. Yeah. And I never paid it the attention it deserved. I never went and got the help, nor was I probably ready. I was finally ready. I also didn't want to come here and screw this up. It was like I'd worked so hard for this one thing, and I was so lucky that my career kept going up that whole time, that my mental health was all over the place. And so she wanted that for me, but she wanted our daughter alive, and that's what it really was. I was in a horribly abusive relationship. She was afraid that he would hurt me or I would hurt myself. And she, as a mom now, talk about like the grace I give her. I cannot believe what I put her through. Truly.
And not intentionally. Yeah. Like, you know,
oh my gosh. We all do it.
Yes.
And yeah. Then I started, that's the only bad thing about writing and remembering a lot of this. I was telling my team actually recently about a moment I remember that my mom and my stepdad got a call because my purse had been found in an alley in Chicago. And they're thinking the absolute worst, right? Yes. Like that's, turns out, drunk Ginger, kind of like Weird Barbie, like regular, like had for some reason flung my full purse of money and, because why wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. And then just disappeared for 6 hours with friends or wherever, and like nobody could find me, and it was 4 a.m. and then the police came. Oh, those types of stories I think about if my kids do that.
Yeah.
And like they will.
And they will.
Unfortunately, they will. God,
Sabrina, don't bring that
They
internet.
Will. Yeah.
They will. Okay, they will.
They will. They all will.
Yeah.
Switching gears.
Yeah.
I recently had like a problem where my daughter became obsessed with hurricanes.
Yes.
And I couldn't figure out how to explain it to her. So I just was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text Ginger.
Sure. Take it to the experts.
Take it to the experts. And you helped explain it. Yeah. And it was great. And she does believe you control the weather. Like,
wonderful.
Like you're Elsa now.
That's next step.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
This is my vision board.
Bigger picture, how can parents explain climate change to children?
Yes.
Can you like help us with that question?
How much time do we have?
Yeah.
We need about 4 hours.
No, I can make it super easy.
Thank you. Thank you.
The first thing is saying we know a lot. We don't know everything. Lay that out there because that's what science is. That's what all science is. So if we can make them kind of baseline understand that. But here's what we do know. We know and figured out a long time ago, almost 200 years now, a woman figured out that when we burn things like oil or gas, fossil fuels, that gas goes into the atmosphere and it acts like a blanket. That way, the heat that's coming into our atmosphere from the sun has a blanket on now. So we added a blanket. We always had different layers and we always had different things, but all we did was put one more on like we do in the winter on our bed. We didn't need to do that. And we are warming faster than we naturally would have, because we have always warmed and cooled. That's what the Earth does over cycles and cycles and eons. But we have added a blanket in the last 150 years, and we haven't stopped making that blanket thicker.
Okay, I love that, because it takes into account, yes, climate changing is natural.
Sure.
It is going to change.
Always.
But we have some responsibility here. So I think that's like that's a very helpful way.
The blanket is an age appropriate, and it's actually good for adults too, because I think it gets so misconstrued and politicized like everything does. But truly, it is such a simple physics.
Yeah.
It is physics. Yeah. We put gases up. Those gases trap heat. That's it.
Okay.
Got some uncles I'll share that with,
that's
too.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to the adults in my life first.
You also, like, for climate change, you're doing, like, a buy nothing. I've been noticing that.
Yeah. I love this. Anti-influencer.
Yes, like, what does it happen? What happens with your children? Like, are they desperate? Like, we go to Target, and I can't get out of there without a toy some days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how are you doing this?
So we talk about this a lot because we can make the analogy to food. When we all have our first child, we're pureeing broccoli, and we are doing the absolute most we can. And then we start to realize that might not be fully life, and we don't want them to be the total weirdo that's never had an M&M, right? Like, mm-hmm. They can't be. So I think I approach it in a similar way, that there is, with them, moderation, but also education. I'm not a total monster. I'm not going to say never. For the first 6 years of birthdays, we said no gifts. And we said, you can donate if you want, because we just felt like they were overdone. And then they started paying attention to other birthday parties, and they were like, wow, you know, what's his name? Got a lot of presents.
Yeah.
That seemed nice. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. So I think that for their birthdays, for special events, but on those regular things, we talk a lot about, what do we have already? Can we find something secondhand? If you're really into action figures, which we did this year, he very much for his birthday wanted G.I. Joes. And I was like, cool. It's like plastic wrapped in plastic, made in somewhere far from here. And I had all these like icky feelings. And then I was like, oh my God, everybody has G.I. Joes. And I found unbelievable deals, first of all, on Poshmark and on all these things. And then it gets shipped to you and you have G.I. Joes. And we had 10 for the price of one, you know? So it was like, there are options to use the circular economy. And that's really what it is. I'm not saying don't ever buy anything. Right. There are many things we do need. But maybe take that pause. Think about who's made it. How did it get here? And those are the steps that I want them to go through as they become adults, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, my husband's worried. This is a good story. So he comes off the bus, our little one, and he's like, whoever on the bus, he said that we're going to play Fortnite tomorrow with our Fortnite guys. And then I was like, and he goes, but I don't have a Fortnite guy. Can we go to Target? He said they're at Target. And I was like, I said, we have a lot of action figures you could probably bring on. And, you know, and Ben's like, he's going to be the weird kid. What are you doing? Like, don't let him be the weird kid. And I'm like, I know, honey. But, and so then I got, because he's young enough, he's in kindergarten. And I'm like, what if we made one of your other guys into the Fortnite guy?
Oh, weird Barbie.
Yes. So we made like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle that looked kind of body wise, like what it was. And then I made a hat.
Sewing doll clothes.
I did. I sewed doll clothes. And he was very proud of what, because then he made it. And he had a little bit more like, and I will tell you, do you know which action figure is standing proudly on his thing right now, on his desk? That
really?
One.
Really?
Yeah. I have to just read this real quick to you. Sorry. This relates very much. So tell me you're my son without telling me you're my son. Adrian writes things for school all the time. Dear readers, Pompeii, Buried Alive is the best book ever. I think you should read it if you're a person who likes sad books. You're going to be mind blown. I mean, you talk about a kid in touch with, but he chose that. I didn't tell him choose Pompeii, but like, I love a good disaster book.
Yeah.
He's me. Like, I'm not making him the weird kid.
Who doesn't love
a
disaster
kid.
Book?
Love
that. You are going to be mind blown if you like sad
you
books.
You are going to be mind blown.
Okay. Speaking of motherhood and taking care of children, it is so all-consuming. It's so exhausting. I think, like, Sabrina and I joke that, like, you better have all your self-help done before you have kids, because you're stopping. You're stopping for a couple years.
Yeah, for at least a couple years.
Yep. Because it's so hard to, like, find. Like, it's not just the self-care of, like, take a bath. It's, like, really, how do you recharge and things like that. So I'm interested in, how have your children changed the way that you've learned to, like, take care of your mental well-being?
Yeah, it's a prioritization, right? Like, you have to do that or else you're going to be a bad mom. It's not about getting over, like, the mom guilt and that stuff. Like, we talk about that stuff too much almost because it's, like, obviously, that's just part of life. Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah. We can't say don't have it. You're going to have it.
Yeah. Right.
What do you do with that and how do you manage it? And all I've done is focus. So it's about putting the phone away when I get home. Not expert at this, and I'm not perfect at it, but when they have your full attention, you see how they act differently when you're on your device or when you're distracted with something. Yeah. Do you remember your parents? Like, my mom would be on the phone with somebody, and I would very much want her attention. It's the same thing, this instead of that. Using that quality time. I'm leaving tomorrow for 4 days, and that's a pretty long time for a mom to be gone. Mm-hmm. And how do I communicate to them that they're still my priority? I talk to my therapist about this a lot because especially the distance thing with my travel. And he said, think about relationships with a friend or a close family member. You don't see them sometimes but once a year, but you still can have a very tight relationship. Geography and time doesn't make things. It's about communication and connection.
More of our conversation with Ginger Z after a quick break.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Frances Fry.
And I'm Ann Morris.
And we are the hosts of a new TED podcast called Fixable. We've helped leaders at some of the world's most competitive companies solve all kinds of problems.
On our show, we'll pull back the curtain and give you the type of honest, unfiltered advice we usually reserve for top executives.
Maybe you have a coworker with boundary issues, or you want to know how to inspire and motivate your team.
Give us a call, and we'll help you solve the problems you're stuck on.
Find Fixable wherever you listen.
So, what shows do you love? What are you watching?
I'm glad you said that because
thank you.
And this is where it's so funny because we haven't let the kids have devices yet because we just didn't want to and we wanted to keep them away. And so at 6 and 8, they still don't have iPads. They still only when we travel on an airplane have they ever played a video game. Have they ever they haven't touched it because mm-hmm. we were kids. And I'm only bringing this up because with TV or film, my husband and I grew up with consuming so much that we think it's great. We also have gotten really into, and thank Disney Plus for this, showing the kids all the sitcoms that we grew up with. They got really into Doogie. They watched almost the whole, I don't know how many seasons. And then we did Family Matters.
Family Matters is the best. I love that.
We watched some Full House, not a ton of it. But we just started, like, kind of just showing them. Because we want them to be able to talk to people about pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're, missing things. And the way that streaming is right now, there's not that.
Yeah.
It's harder. There isn't that one show that everybody's watching.
Okay. Sabrina and I just started Gilded Age.
I ran to all of the Gilded Age.
Maybe this is why we don't exercise.
I ran to Downton Abbey.
Okay.
And so it was an easy watch as you're running because it's moving slow. What I actually love the most, though, is when it surprises me where I am speaking in modern speak while these people are in whatever age they're in. And I'm like, this motherfucker. Watch him walking in here, the prince of whatever. Who does he think he is? You know, like, it's my reaction that then makes me laugh at myself at how I reacted to the Gilded Age.
Oh my gosh.
But I think that the Agnes Van Ryn character, she's got that, she mixes this like badass that she's been around and she keeps throwing out like, that was the Civil War. You know, like she keeps like throwing out like harsh digs of the time. Mm-hmm. And I almost like I went back trying to look, can I bring some of those to the modern day? It doesn't translate, so I don't think people would really, but it's like what I want.
That's
a sick burn in the late 1800s. So that's how I think that's what I love about her, is she's so wrong, she's right. And then I love Bertha Russell. She is the orchestrator of, and this is Carrie Coons, right?
Yes, Carrie Coons.
Her character is twisted. And
New money.
Right, and the end of the second season, I won't blow it for anyone, but the lengths to which she will go to get what she wants for her family, namely her daughter, is disgusting. And I love that.
One thing I wanted to mention, I saw this in your book, that you talked about maternal figures, like you talked about your stepmom. It doesn't have to be your biological mom. And I think in the Gilded Age, that's a big thing, that there are just a lot of, like, I say matriarch, but it's just a strong influence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's nice to see, that it doesn't have to just be your biological child or your biological mother that's really, like, raising you.
Yes. I do think that emphasizing that it doesn't have to be a mother. And I'm going through this with my family right now. When my stepmom passed, my brother was 18 and my sister turned 21. And there's never a good age to lose your parent. And so to think about losing your mom, and I think that at that time, here I was, you know, in just getting my job, you know, I had just gotten my job here a couple years before. I was just starting to get healthier. I was not in the place. And now it's like, who is their mom? Whether we have it from someone else or we become it for someone else, it's a really important role, even in those different ages, because we're so much different in age. I mean, they were born when I was 15 and 17.
Yeah.
And so I'm that much older than them. So it already is kind of a different age thing, but I'm finally coming into this part of my life and I bought my sister's wedding dress. She's getting married this October. She lives in Hawaii, so physically it's very hard for us to get together. Yeah. But I was thinking about those pivotal moments when you don't have your parent, and I was like, and I know my dad's not thinking about it because he doesn't. And it meant the world to her. And it was like those little things. It doesn't have to be all-time mom or whatever, but those mom parental things we can do for each other. And what would thinking about what somebody else, maybe not even in your family, but a coworker or a friend or whatever, everybody needs another mom.
I guess it also relieves the main caretaker mom too.
Yes.
That like you don't have to do
you don't
the
have
entire
to be everything.
Job.
No.
You don't have to be the therapist to your child.
No.
Like, there are a lot of influential people in their lives, men and women, that,
everybody,
are, that are serving.
I learned that in my mental health journey too, is everybody needs a full team. Like my mom, she was the forever support. She, in my journey, she couldn't be the tough love. My best friend, who is a doctor, she had to be the tough love. She had to say, I can't be your friend like this anymore. Change or I'm out of here. Then you have to have the person who is the physical there, teammate, the person who's going to be able to pull you out of that situation. There's like so many parts to the people you need, and your mom can't be all of it. It would be a lot less guilt and a lot less of all the other stuff that we feel if we weren't supposed to be responsible for all of that.
I think that's the trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the real
trap. Oh my God, we figured it out.
I think it's solved. Case closed.
It's solved. All
Ginger,
done.
We've taken too much of your time, and this has been a delight.
Thank you
such
so
a pleasure.
Much.
Thank you for talking.
I'm very happy y'all are doing this.
That was our conversation with ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z.
This episode touched on the difficult subject of self-harm. If you are struggling with thoughts of suicide or worried about a friend or loved one, call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988 for free confidential emotional support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God, you know, Ginger is so, so wonderful.
Ginger and her mom, Sabrina.
I know. I mean, her mom becoming a doctor, when I retire, I won't be doing a thing.
I will be in a prone position.
Yes.
I will find myself a couch bed. And I will retire there.
Yes.
I was like, Ginger, don't get this information out about your mom being so ambitious. And then everything Ginger's done. It's like, I was so tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm tired thinking about it. I'm Sabrina Kohlberg.
I'm Andy Mitchell. Thanks for listening.
Next week on Pop Culture Moms, writer Elise Lunin is going to help us answer a question that keeps us up at night. Why do we all feel like such bad moms? Pop Culture Moms is a production of ABC Audio in partnership with Good Morning America, hosted by me, Sabrina Kohlberg.
And me, Andy Mitchell. Our show is produced by Camille Peterson, Asal Asanapur, Sabrina Kohlberg, and me.
Music by Evan Viola.
Special thanks to Susie Liu, Josh Cohan, Arielle Chester, Liz Alessi, and Simone Swink, the executive producer of GMA.
Laura Mayer is the executive producer of podcasts for ABC Audio.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.